and verse number 18 and verse number 19. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety, and the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. Now notice the word here, safety. You know, in these last year or so, we've heard a lot about safety. People from all sorts of different organizations that are trying to tell people all around the world what they need to do to be safe. But today we're going to look from the Word of God how to be safe. How to be safe from the Word of God. See, God's will was to give the land to Israel so they could dwell in there safely. This is what God's will was. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse number 10. And when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about ye, so that ye dwell in safety. If you remember David in Psalm chapter 4 and verse number 8, this is what he writes. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And, you know, in Psalms chapter 27, he gives the credit to God for his safety. Look what it says, Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Only one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble ye shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. And notice how his safety, how he's mentioning it's in the Lord. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And we see very clearly he's giving all the credit for his safety and his success to the Lord in the verses we just read. And that is why he's also able to, again in Psalms 23 and verse number 4, write, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So again, you and I have witness since last year, not just here in America, but all around the world. We have witnessed, we've heard from health officials, from government officials, to politicians, to all sorts of leaders about how to be safe. Probably never heard it before. A lot of things, you know, I remember when this lockdown happened, I had gone to from Pakistan, I had left to take my mom to attend a funeral in England. And I was supposed to be coming back, and just in 2 days before that, there was a lockdown that happened. Not just the lockdown, but the airspace closed, which means you couldn't fly. And so I was stuck there for about 2 months. And so, of course, at that time, this thing had just started. This was last year in March. And I'm sure you all have heard this a lot too. You started to hear all sorts of things. This is what you need to do to be safe. This is what you need to do to be safe. But one thing was missing. Of course, you have to realize the world is giving this perspective. They don't talk about the Lord. God's not in it. But you see, the Bible talks about their safety in the Lord. Their safety in the Lord. And that's what we're going to look at today. First of all, there's safety in salvation of the Lord that he provides. You remember Jonah when he prayed to God after an experience of rebellion and discipline? And he prayed to the Lord, and he talks about how he says it very clearly that salvation is in the Lord. He realizes that. See, he realized that he couldn't save himself now that he's in the fish's belly. And not just he couldn't save himself, no one in earth could. No one on earth knew he was there to save him. But he knew God could do it. God could save him from that. And this is the statements he makes: for salvation is of the Lord. Psalms chapter 3 and verse number 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And then in Psalms 37 and verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. You see, the world around us are trying, people around us are trying to get salvation by seeing what can we do to get it. But they are all wrong, because they can't do anything to get it. Salvation is of the Lord. Yes. And there's safety in the salvation that God has to offer to mankind. You see, mankind all through history has tried their own thing, but there's no safety in that. We've lived in a country where the Muslims are trying to get salvation. Their idea of salvation is, of course, by works. So they're trying to do all these different sorts of things, somehow thinking that by doing all these things, we will get some sort of salvation from whatever belief system they have. And then we have the Hindus there as well in Pakistan. They have millions of gods that they believe in. And of course, the idea is the same. It's a work-based. Maybe if we do this to appease this god, if we do that to appease this god, do this to please this god, somehow, maybe if it's good enough, we'll somehow get some sort of salvation. Of course, their ideas about gods is it's just a messed up thinking. And if you're not careful, they'll even add Jesus as another god. And of course, you and I know that's not where salvation is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no salvation is only through him and him alone. See, the Bible is very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 53 and verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. The Bible is clear in that. Psalms chapter 7 and verse 11, the Bible is clear. God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. And so the result of this sin is, as Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 20, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible is very clear about that. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible talks about death. The Bible talks about hell in Revelation chapter 20. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hell is real. And you and I, of course, with this last couple, of course, people have talked a lot about death. You and I know that. But the Bible talks about it too. John chapter 3 and verse 36, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Yes. See, hell is a real place. It's a place of torment. The Bible talks about that the worm dieth not. The Bible talks about the fire is not quenched there. It's a place of darkness. There is weeping there. There's gnashing of teeth there. And the Bible also says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And that's why you and I have a responsibility. God has given us a very clear commandment to his church, to his local church, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, so that more people can be saved, because there is a judgment day coming. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 12, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Fire is real. The Bible talks about hell is a place of everlasting burning. That's what the Bible talks about. Here's another verse, Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Notice the words, devouring fire. Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable. In Revelation it says, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. See, a lot of these things are so common in society, people don't even think they're sin anymore. But the Bible talks about, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Bible is very clear about it. Remember, Jesus said very clearly, I tell you nay, except but ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He said, I came to call the righteous. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said it very clearly. The good part is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter if they're from a Hindu background. It doesn't matter if they're from a Muslim background. It doesn't matter if they're from a Catholic background, from just a nominal Christian background. If they call upon the name of the Lord, God says they shall be saved. And thank God for His goodness. I thank the Lord that God in His grace and in His mercy chose to let me hear a gospel message in a country where an average person has never heard it. But God, through His, think about this, millions of people, 221 million people, and over 96% of them, of course we realize over 96% are just Muslim people. There's just a small percentage of other religions. And even out of that small percentage, even of the so-called Christians, a lot of them have never heard a clear salvation message. It's all a salvation by works. It's the goodness of God that you and I get to hear about salvation just about every week. Yes. But think about this. There's a lot of people who haven't heard it once. Yes. And you know, I've seen places like this. There's no church. There's no preacher. In some places, in some of the dialects, there's not even a Bible in their language. Think about this. We can definitely say God has been gracious to us. Yes. He's been kind to us. But let me tell you, there's safety in salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, and there's safety in that. Here's another thing that I'm going to share with you from God's Word. There's safety in seeking His will. The first thing we looked at, there's salvation. There's safety in salvation of the Lord. There's safety in seeking His will. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, as this time of the year, people are thinking about graduates. Here's one word of encouragement that I would like to give them. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding. What we have to learn to do is trust in the Lord. Let Him lead us. Let Him guide us. And God doesn't mislead anybody. Isn't that good? Yes. When He leads, it's always going to be right. It's always going to be good. It's always going to be in the right direction. That's how God does His work. You see, one of the good things about God's leading is there's no plan B. Because plan A always works with God. Isn't that good? You have to worry about that. And He said, look what it said. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You know, God has enabled my wife and I to be in Pakistan for a number of years now, as you've seen. And I'll tell you one thing. Again, you young people that are maybe considering the ministry, maybe asking the Lord, what is it, God, you'd want me to? By the way, every child of God should ask the Lord, what is it, God, you would want me to do? And I'm here to tell you, there's nothing boring about serving the Lord. Yes. A lot of people have this idea that, you know, serving the Lord is boring, and they want to, as soon as they're 18, they just want to get out of their house, they want to get out of their church, they don't want to do anything for God. But and most of the times, and I know you probably have seen it too, their life is a mess after that. Because see, when God is rejected, you can't expect things to go right when God is rejected. Right. When you reject your church and your church family, your pastor who's taught you and who's prayed for you and who's done all these efforts, don't expect things to go right. It's just not going to happen. But when we seek the Lord, look what it says, all thy ways acknowledge Him. Look what it says, and He shall direct thy paths. I'm here to tell you, there's safety in seeking His will. Yes. There's safety in salvation of the Lord. There's safety in seeking His will. God has a plan even for the smallest details of the believer's life. See, remember Paul, how he introduces himself in letters? He says, the apostle of Christ by the will of God. He uses these words, God, that's what God's plan. Think about this, even the hairs of our head are numbered. Some of us, they're getting small, the numbers, but yes, they're still numbered by the Lord. He knows the exact numbers. Amen. Do you realize God is God even knows the little details of us? He's interested in that.
Yes.
He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. So there's safety in seeking His will. And here's another thing. There's safety in separating from the world. Their safety in separating from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this is what the Apostle Paul said, who was wanting to be used by God. And this is what he said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He didn't want to be a castaway. He wanted to keep his vessel clean so he could be used by God. You see, there's safety in separation from the world.
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Look what it says, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work.
Yes.
Their safety in separating from the world. You see, the world has their own agenda.
Yes.
And you and I, as God's people, if there was ever a time that we could see the agenda of the world, it was through this virus. We've seen what their agenda is. Their agenda is not to get people close to God. Their agenda is to get them away from God. We've seen that happen. Not just here, all around the world. You see, the devil, of course you and I realize, our trust, at least it should be in the Lord, not in the system of the world. Because the system of the world will be destroyed when the Prince of Peace, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, comes. But there's safety in separating from the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So we looked at their safety in salvation of the Lord. Their safety in seeking his will. Their safety in separating from the world. Here's another thing. Their safety in serving the Lord. Once we separate from the world, see, there's a lot of people that will separate from the world, but they won't necessarily serve the Lord. We know, you know, in Hindus, there's certain groups of people, they will pretty much separate from everyone. They'll lock themselves in, and they won't, they'll go to a certain period of time where they won't even eat or drink anything. They call it this separation time. Is supposedly it's a time that will help them to get close to some sort of God that they believe in. But again, you know, this is just their view. Not everyone does that, but there's certain groups among them that will do that. And so we met a fellow one time where we were where you saw in the presentation, and he was practicing this thing. And so we went and we tried to invite him to come to, we're about to have services. So I said, well, I can't come because I'm supposed to be staying in. But later on we found out, well, the reason why he wanted to lock himself in, he didn't want to go to work, so he used that as an excuse. And so if he's saying this, then people can't make him go to work. But anyways, that's just the world's view of what they want to do. A lot of the Catholic fathers and the nuns, they kind of separate from the world too, but they're not necessarily serving the Lord. They're following a man-made system that's not taking anyone close to the Lord. In fact, it's taking people away from the Lord. So their safety in serving the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10 and 11. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, in Romans chapter 16, and I'm sure you're familiar with that, Paul greeted 26 people by name, as well as two of them were unnamed. Now, all these people that he mentioned in that chapter are people that were serving the Lord. And he mentions them, how some of them were a big blessing to him. Some of them even put their lives in danger just to help the Apostle Paul do his work. And so he's thankful for these people, but do you realize their safety in serving the Lord? And, you know, as a member of this church, you know, everybody's goal should be, we're going to be here serving the Lord. We're going to be here for every service. And I tell you what, there's safety in that. There's safety in serving the Lord. And here's the last thing. There's safety in spending for the Lord. There's safety in spending for the Lord. Remember the church of Philippi, how Paul mentions about them that they didn't just give once, but they gave at other occasions too, for the needs of the Apostle Paul. And this is what he said. He said their giving was as a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And you know what he said to them? He said that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. See, do you get the idea? There's safety in spending for the Lord. He said, God's going to take care of you. You've done this for the man of God, God's going to take care of you. There's safety in that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. When you and I give to the Lord, whatever God lays on our heart, whatever we're giving to the Lord, there's safety in that. No thieves can come and get it. It cannot be stolen. When it's used for the glory of God, souls around the world are saved. New names are written down. There's rejoicing in the presence of angels. Think about that. And there's nothing better than that. Just seeing, I'm sure those of you that have been here for a while and you've seen new people come in, you've seen them accept Christ, you've seen them grow in the Lord. Isn't that exciting to see that?
Yes.
See, there's safety in spending for the Lord. You know, you and I have been taught so much about how to be saved, but we need to look once in a while, just see and think, what does God say about safety? There's safety in the salvation of the Lord. There's safety in seeking His will for our lives. There's safety in separating from the world. There's safety in serving the Lord, and there's safety in spending for the Lord's work. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.